This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest. If
no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
An around-the-world trip, the dream for many after school. Put aside work for a bit, don't go and study, have a bit of a break, go jump into life. Look, it's not always easy travelling for months at a time. How do you think it would be doing it all in a wheelchair? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, you're going to hear from the boys who've arrived back home after doing just that. Two mates, one chair, a bunch of memories, and a lot of piggybacks.
270 stairs up, 270 stairs down. My knee was feeling a bit sore.
He told me that next day. He's like, dude, at the top, my legs were shaking. I thought they were going to give out on me. While I'm on his back, it's raining, slippery, 270 steps down.
Yeah, funny chat coming up with Two Mates, One Chair, our long listen of the week. First, though, Hack.
Think about this as getting a secondhand Lamborghini that's being well serviced. The submarine that we're going to be getting is still one of the best submarines in the world.
On Triple J. What about all this submarine drama? More than $300 billion, a massive deal, nuclear-powered submarines, an Australian rock icon. A lot going on with AUKUS in the headlines this past few days. The government announcing the deal that we've reached with the US and the UK has kind of changed a little bit. So are we being ripped off? Does the AUKUS deal still stack up? And what does it mean for our defence in the years ahead? Jackson Worthington's been looking into it.
This week, the government announced a change to the $368 billion AUKUS alliance, and it has a lot of people questioning whether or not the deal still stacks up, including Labor MP Ed Husic.
That deal versus what we've got now are different.
AUKUS is the biggest deal in Australian military history. The alliance between the US, UK and Australia was announced in 2021 by then Liberal Prime Minister Scott Morrison, alongside US President Joe Biden and UK PM Boris Johnson.
I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
The centrepiece of the deal is three nuclear-powered submarines which Australia needs to replace its existing ageing fleet.
A forever partnership that will enable Australia to protect our national security interests.
The deal also includes the development of a brand new sub that will be built here. Eight of those subs will join the Australian fleet, with the first expected to be ready in the early 2040s. In 2023, the new Labor government announced the optimal path forward for AUKUS. The plan was for Australia to buy two new but refurbished Virginia Block 4 subs from the US and one brand new Virginia Block 6.
This is the first time in 65 years, and only the second time in history, that the United States has shared its nuclear propulsion technology.
The Virginia class is a fast attack sub. It's designed to seek and destroy enemy submarines and ships. It can also be used to insert special forces into operations. The submarines are nuclear powered, but won't carry nuclear weapons. Over the weekend, the government announced the AUKUS deal is changing. Australia is now getting three refurbished Virginia Block 4 submarines instead of a brand new Block 6. The news was announced after Defence Minister Richard Marles met with his US counterpart Pete Hegseth.
President Trump directed that we move full steam ahead on AUKUS, and I'm proud to say that we've made great progress on that front.
And has caused a few tense exchanges in Senate estimates this week, with the left and right side of politics both questioning the new deal when Defence Department Secretary Megan Quinn was giving evidence.
You can't have two optimal pathways.
You can have two constrained optimal pathways.
We now have a variety of constrained optimal pathways. AUKUS is not only doing damage to the Australian public purse, it's now destroying the English language.
The government is defending the changes. Richard Marles says it was always the preferred option.
What we will be receiving is submarines which have gone through their first deep maintenance and will have a lot of years left in their life.
He says this will be cheaper and will get new vessels into the Australian fleet sooner, but he wouldn't say how much the government will save.
I'm not in a position to go into the detail of that.
The coalition doesn't have a problem with the new deal, but Angus Taylor has accused the government of underfunding the Defence Force.
Our warfighters will not have the capabilities, the support and the resources they need to do their jobs.
While former Ambassador to the US Joe Hockey has welcomed the change, but reckons it was always going to happen.
I was repeatedly asked about how Donald Trump would react to the AUKUS deal, and I said at the time,
He'll confirm the deal, but say don't give him the new ones.
And the questions aren't just coming from across the aisle. Australian music icon Peter Garrett is set to chair a crowdfunded independent inquiry into the AUKUS deal. While Labor MP Ed Husic, who was dumped from the cabinet this year, reckons now is the time to rethink whether or not AUKUS is still worth it.
There's an issue about reality in that confronting us about whether or not we will even get the new deal that has been put to us.
Hack on Triple J.
Jackson Worthington reporting there. And as you just heard, Peter Garrett is getting involved in all of this. You know him maybe from Midnight Oil. He was also an environment minister in a former Labor government. Well, now he's turning his attention to AUKUS to lead an inquiry that has been set up after a big crowdfunding effort in Australia. So let's speak with him now. Peter Garrett, thanks so much for joining us on Hack.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having us.
First question a lot of people will have is, who's behind this inquiry and how is it going to work?
Yeah, it's been auspiced by a group called the Australian Peace and Security Forum. It's made up of ex-defence people, human rights lawyers. They've got other supporting organisations, including some anti-nuclear organisations. Some unions have come into support so that we can actually get around the country. But this is a publicly funded inquiry, mate, so it'll depend a bit on resources.
Okay, you say publicly funded, but are some of those groups that, you know, from various backgrounds with various interests, are they contributing money to this as well?
Yes, some are. Anyone can contribute. And secondly, any member of the public that wants to put in a submission can, and all of that information that's collated and gathered so that most of us who watch these things from a distance can come to a considered view about whether we should be spending upwards of $380 billion on these submarines.
I mean, Peter Garrett, there might be some people listening now who are a little sus on the idea in the sense that they think, okay, well, we've heard Peter Garrett's thoughts on AUKUS before. You know, you've said it stinks, haven't really supported it. So can we be sure that you haven't already made up your mind on this deal?
Well, I can only speak, but you're right. I've got very strong concerns about AUKUS, and I don't think that's really going to surprise people. But the aim of the inquiry isn't for me to ventilate my views on AUKUS. The aim of the inquiry is to allow Australians who haven't been in the conversation at all up to now to be able to be in a debate, ask questions. We've asked the government to present. We will be asking the defence agencies and state governments of all of the big things that we have ever spent money on in this country and of all of the big decisions that we've ever made. This is modern Australia. Apart from going to war, this is by far the biggest. None of that debate's happening.
I mean, getting into this deal has already cost Australia so much money. Like, we had to pay France more than $800 million in compensation to settle a deal we had with them before we got into AUKUS. So there would be some people thinking, would it be a nightmare for us to even consider getting out of this deal because it would just waste a whole lot more money?
There's $386 billion up to that's been identified for us to have only 8 nuclear-powered submarines by the 2040s. There's no factoring in the cost for building from the ground up a medium and high-level radioactive waste containment facility. You know, we can get up to about $500 billion of likely expense. And then what for me is the kicker on all of this, I can't find a single big defence project in Australia's history that has run to time or on budget. And the complexity of these AUKUS subs is mind-boggling. There actually isn't a single design that the public has seen. So Australians are being asked to put a massive vote of confidence essentially in this process. And in the UK, leading naval and submarine experts came to the view that the UK submarine building industry was a complete mess as well. So I think there's so many red lights flashing here. And for younger Australians who are going to have to pick up the bill for all of this, it should be an issue, I think, at front of mind.
And just finally, Peter Garrett, I mean, there are a lot of young Australians who would be against this deal and thinking we need to get out. There would be others, though, who may be freaking out a little about the state of the world and are worried about being left vulnerable. And they're thinking we do need to make sure that we're future-proofing ourselves when it comes to defence. What do you say to those people?
Well, that's a really, really good question, Dave, and I think it's a pretty reasonable thing that people should think about. But we're going to have to dig into what $368 billion plus could actually give us, because it could also provide us with a modern defence force, which was optimised by drones and autonomous platforms, where we had 15 to 20 smaller conventional subs that were quite suitable for Australia's coastline and littoral waters. You know, AUKUS effectively takes a lot of money and throws all the eggs in one basket. Nuclear submarines, with the radioactive waste that they produce, which are to be used, incidentally, as far as we can see, in forward defence procedures and relationships with the United States. And yet for an equivalent sum of money, we could get something which may be more suitable for the defence of Australia than they are. And that's one of the questions that we want to investigate in this very important public inquiry. And I encourage people to support it. And if they can, to put in a submission or even attend.
We'll be keeping across it, no doubt, speaking again in the months ahead. Peter Garrett, thank you so much for joining us on Hark.
Hey, thanks for having us, mate. Cheers.
And there's a lot of messages coming through on this one, people questioning whether AUKUS is a good deal, whether these subs that we're going to be getting will have a long life ahead of them. Look, we might actually tackle some of this and your thoughts in the shake-up tomorrow, so make sure you tune in then. And we'll continue to unpack this really big story. But now it's time for our long listen of the week.
Hack.
Hey, legends. Two Mates, One Chair here.
Right. Welcome back to Two Mates, One Chair.
We've made it to Venice.
It's going to be the reveal of a bloody lifetime.
On Triple J.
Yeah, let's lean into something that's going to make you feel a lot better about the world. Forget about the news headlines for 20 minutes. The bad stuff in the world. Let's hear about an adventure that's had thousands of people around the globe hooked. And maybe you're one of those. Maybe you follow Two Mates, One Chair. Fletcher Crowley, Lockie Bennett, travelling the world, four continents, 3 months, one wheelchair. Their content has had people laughing, crying, smiling for months. These two from Sydney really pushing the boundaries. Fletcher in his wheelchair, Lockie alongside him, or more often piggybacking Fletch. Well, they just got back to Australia after this big adventure, and I'm so happy to say that they're here to speak with us on Hack. Fletcher Crowley and Lockie Bennett, welcome to Hack.
Hello. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
How does it feel to be back in Australia?
Surreal, eh?
I think it's still sinking in. We're like, oh, we're home. Yeah.
We haven't even, like, reflected the trip ourselves.
We were driving here. We were saying, like, I think this is going to be the first time we've, like, well, since we got home that we've sat down and we've spoken about it and realised what's just happened.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, actually, did you any points to the trip? Like, 3 months is a long time to go away with a mate. So many people who've done backpacking can relate to this. Any big fights? Any big bust-ups between
you? No big fights. Like, I feel like you definitely go into a trip this long with anybody and you think, fuck, imagine if we get a bit like bickery. But it's just,
there's obviously those days when you're tired where it's just like, oh, let's just can't be bothered to talk to each other and it's just quiet. Yeah. But like, nothing huge.
Okay, good traveling partners then.
Definitely. Yeah,
head off on a trip.
I reckon any of my other mates, I'd be like, oh my God. But like, I don't know. I feel like we
learned so much about each other.
Can you take us through what the trip was, like where you went and how long you had?
So the whole trip, like the itinerary was kind of planned through sail and around the world ticket. And it was like these four stops. So we went Hong Kong. We did like 4 days there. And then flew to Milan, did 7 weeks in Europe and went down through Italy, then back up through Italy, went to the Paralympics, got the last day of that in, then through Austria to Switzerland and then stayed with the Swiss family there, flew to the Netherlands for a couple of days and then flew back to Switzerland and then went through France and Spain and then back to Milan and then flew from Milan to Brazil and then did 3 weeks in Brazil and then 2 weeks in South Africa and now we're home.
It was funny because the whole time frame, which was 4 days, 7 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, that was broken up into the four continents.
Yeah.
That time frame was done off the cheapest flight deals they could get. And it actually worked really well.
I just want to take it back a little bit and get to know you two a little better. Fletcher, can we start with you? Mm. What was your life like before your accident?
Yeah. So I grew up on near Manly Beach in Sydney, surfing, skating, mountain biking, skiing, just love scaring myself. And then I really like focused on mountain biking from when I was like 13 or 14 till 17 when I had my accident. We'd been building this jump for ages and I wanted to do a double backflip on it the whole time building it. So let's give it a crack. I did like 7 tries and was like getting super close. And then one of them, I just only made one flip and ended up like landing on my neck and my like upper back and broke my T8 and 9 vertebrae, which left me paraplegic.
That would have been devastating at the time to come to terms with. Do you remember a lot from that time and how it felt?
Yeah, the first like week in when I was in ICU, it was obviously sucked and I was just in so much pain, just hating everything. But then since then, I don't know, Dad was like just let the anger out one night, and I was just there screaming his hand, holding his hand, screaming one night in hospital. And I think since then I just kind of, I don't know, everyone was like, how did you change your mindset? How did you get this mindset? And I'm like, I don't know, I just, it's just my mindset. I've just got ADHD, one thing to the next. So I was like, all right, this has happened. All right, what are we doing now? What can I do with this? Kind of got straight into researching what you can do and all the adaptive sports and all the ways to travel and all the different opportunities that you can get from it.
And can you explain the extent of your injuries? Mm. Is that all right? And yeah, just so, what it means for you on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I broke my back, like I said, at T8 and 9, both those vertebrae, but my injury, I don't know, different doctors say T8, different doctors say T9, so it's somewhere around my belly button where my paralysis starts. I have sensation and movement below my injury, but like not enough to walk every day. Like I do physio regularly where I'll walk 20 meters and I'll be sweating and absolutely wrecked after it. But yeah, like I can live independently. Like I can live by myself forever. Lockie obviously helps me do this stuff to really push living and do all this cool shit that we want to do.
Yeah.
That's where Lockie comes in help. I was just starting year 12 when I had my injury. So I was in hospital 6 months and then went back to school. And I think that helped a lot going back to school, like forcing me to be around mates.
It also sounds like the accident has not changed that kind of adrenaline junkie nature of you, like adventure. Yeah. You never want to give that up.
Yeah. No, I was saying to Dylan Alcott the other day, I kind of look at it like, as less competition, like it's more niche what me and Lockie do. And I think that's what's helped us so much on this trip. Like our whole idea was, yeah, like it's so niche, like two blokes, just two 20-year-old guys traveling the world in a chair. Like you don't really see that on social media every day. And I think that's...
We both chase that little adrenaline
high. And it's just like, just love scaring ourselves. And I feel like it's always easier to do now. Not easy to scare yourselves, but easier to find something unique that not many people have done before.
Yeah.
And I feel like we both bounce off. Being able to enjoy something together is so sick. It's like an adrenaline high by yourself, yeah, but together is, oh, damn.
Enter Lockie. Lockie, how did you know Fletcher? Because you guys went to school together, right?
I was in year above, and one of my mutual mates who was really still very, very best mates with Fletcher as well, Leroy, Les, and then we became really close, I would say probably a year after incident. Yeah.
About 2 years ago from now.
I work at a spinal cord resort called Sargood. And Fletcher's going there for his physio a lot, and I would just run into him a lot. And then, yeah, from there, it just kind of clicked.
From that first night, I remember he was working a night shift, and I was staying there for, like, an intensive physio camp. And he didn't have any dinner. I was like, I'll go to Woolies, get us some steaks. And then that's, like, the first time I remember us just, like, clicking. And then from then, I think you were at my house, like, the next day, talking about
similar
everything.
Similar humour.
Yeah.
Still, we judge well together. Yeah. And, like... Yeah, we just do it. We love doing the same things. Yeah. Just going shopping or swimming.
The rest is history. Yeah, this is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Fletcher Crowley and Lockie Bennett from Two Mates, One Chair about their big trip around the world, and their big social media following that they've managed to build over the past few months. So whose idea was it to do a trip together? I mean, Lockie, you're nodding. Was it you that kind of first raised it?
I did a trip last year overseas for 4 months. Loved it. I frothed it. I was ready to do more trips. I was like, oh, I don't want to do uni anymore. Let's go travel. Fletcher did a season. He was getting a taste for all the travel stuff. He's done Japan with his family. Let's do it. And we're just like, let's do a trip together. I'd be so sick.
When you were planning it, did accessibility come into it at all? Like, were you like, oh, this place could be more accessible, so we'll go there, or not at all?
Well, I think we thought about the accessibility of each place, but it didn't affect at all if we were going to go there.
In terms of the comms, we hadn't even booked a comm.
When you were over there, you hadn't even booked
it. Yeah, like we obviously had like the first 4 days booked because we just got off and went straight to the comm. As much we booked was pre-leased a car because trains can become a bit of an issue lugging around.
Yeah.
If you probably have two less arms to carry bags.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was literally at the car and the first couple of days of the comm.
And did you regret that kind of planning tactic of just waiting till you got there to book stuff?
Not
one.
Nah,
it was
not
good.
Because as the trip went on, people would reach out to us and be like, come stay with us, come do this.
From South Africa to Switzerland to Brazil culture. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's insane.
How did the social media idea come about? Did you decide before you left that you wanted to kick off an account and see what happened?
Yeah. And we knew we were going to do a trip. Nothing was planned. And we went down to Ulla Dulla and we went for a swim and we'll just like, oh, we'll film it.
I was like, Fletcher's place isn't accessible. And then... this was like early days, like starting about, let's make an account, what's the name? It was going to be Two Champs, One Chair. Or
it was the most inaccessible beach ever. It was like so many stairs to get down to this beach. But then the one that did well was the Wet n Wild one. Then we went to Gold Coast. I think we booked this big trip the night before. And when we went to Wet n Wild, and if you know Wet n Wild, there's stairs up the top to everything. And that one Yeah, that one was the first one that kind of went big.
I remember we got to the top and one of the guys working on the ride, he's like, stop playing games, fellas, get off his back.
He was like,
you know, thought we're taking the meat. And we're like,
because you have to get on like the scale before you get on the...
Right, okay.
And he's like, all right, you're going to put him down. I'm like, nah. And he's like, mate, stop taking the meat, put him down. I'm like, well, he can't walk.
And what did he say?
He fully thought we were taking the piss and we were like, you know, dead serious. Like, I can't put him down.
We probably do look like we're taking the piss off.
Yeah, probably.
But then like it got to the point where he saw your scar and then he actually realised.
Yeah. He saw my big scar on my back because I didn't have a shirt on because it was so weird. In South Africa.
We pick it back to Lighthouse and this lady goes, are you guys playing fun and games? And we're like,
and I was like, nah, can't walk. And she was just like, oh, okay.
So when you're talking piggybacking, it's literally Fletcher on Lockie's back.
Yeah.
And how does that go?
At the start, it was pretty rough. Like I was getting into this deep squat, like, you know, about to blow my legs out. And now we've got a technique down pat.
We've nailed it, it's safe to say.
And what, you're climbing lighthouses and stuff?
Yeah, just like these guys. I think the hardest...
What's it done for your fitness, Lockie?
Oh, I reckon he came back so much fitter than when he left.
Yeah, I was a bit worried about the knee after the big Hong Kong 270 stairs up, 270 stairs down. My knee was feeling a bit sore.
He told me that next day, he's like, dude, at the top, my legs were shaking. I thought they were going to give out on me. While I'm on his back, it's raining, slippery, 270 steps down.
Do you ever feel guilty, Fletcher? You're like, oh.
No, not one bit.
Fair enough.
I think we both love it. I feel like it's kind of our thing now.
So during the trip, what do you reckon the craziest thing that you did was? Like, what's the memory that sticks out of like, UTVs, oh, maybe we've gone in a bit too deep here?
Probably the UTVs, right?
We stayed with a friend who I used to work with at a bike shop in Sydney who grew up in Brazil and now lives in Brazil again. And he had like UTVs, which is like a golf buggy, like for full like off-road racing, like a rally.
100 kilometers
like,
an hour.
On like 100 Ks an hour and dirt roads.
Oh, no.
I was with the guy who was staying with Andre and Lockie was in front driving. We just finished lunch and we were just on our way back, but it was a solid like 2 hour drive back.
Three hour drive.
And we're probably like 40 minutes in.
No reception.
And me and Andre rolled it like twice into the bushes.
What?
Boom, like just three rolls.
What was going through your head, Lockie? Were you
honestly worried, I reckon I was more scared than Fletcher was in the whole situation.
Yeah.
I thought the boy.
Well, obviously I was in it. I knew I was okay. So
okay.
For him, he would have been like, holy shit, is this guy like dead?
Squished? It took me like 3 seconds to realize what was going on. So lucky everyone to walk out of that.
It took us like 9 hours to get out of the middle of the Brazilian bush with no wheelchair, no service,
no water.
What'd you tell your family? Were your family?
Oh, I wasn't going to tell mum and dad because I think they have some PTSD from when I broke my back.
Yeah, I was going to say, then, like, how do they feel about, like, you going on all these adventures? Are they worried? Are they like, just take it easy, Fletcher?
Love the adventures, but they don't like the UTV rolls.
Yeah.
They don't like the stuff that's, well, not they. Like, it's more mum kind of gets a little bit like, oh, Fletch.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. You can understand, mum. I mean, this is Hakam, Dave Marchese speaking with Fletcher Crowley and Lockie Bennett from Two Mates, One Chair, hearing from you on the text line, people who follow Fletch and Lockie, someone saying, love, 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 Two Mates, One Chair, what a beautiful friendship and adventure together. Another person saying, this is a fantastic story of beating adversity and living life to the fullest. I'm loving this and I'm laughing. Yeah, you got a lot of fans on the text line, Fletch and Lockie. I mean, we're talking about this trip you made around the world, 4 continents, 3 months, the wheelchair, about your experience, about friendship, about accessibility. Was there one place you went that was really inaccessible that you thought, oh, that was too much, or no, I never want to do that again?
The snow probably became a bit of a pain.
Yeah, the snow. We were going through the Dolomites when there was like, well, there were Paralympics, the Winter Paralympics were on, so it was still like a lot of snow.
That's just one thing these wheelchair tires can't do.
Right.
None of it has been like, oh, that was a mission, I wouldn't go back there.
There's actually a lot of pros traveling in wheelchair, I found.
What are the pros? Okay, that's good. I want to hear about this. What are the pros?
The biggest pros is the parking. Oh, my God. They say, oh, the parking is so bad in this city, whatnot, mate. Front row parking with this bloke.
Everyone was everywhere. Like, you sure you want to get a car, the parking? And we're like, mate, don't you worry. We've got this sorted.
Having a car, you can just go wherever you want.
I got my own. I reckon my own pro, I've been talking about this a bit recently, is the chair under my bag. It's like carrying 2 backpacks around permanently. Oh. Just loaded up with anything. And then, like, I'll find, like, 3 weeks later, I'll be like, oh, when did I put this in there?
it's
literally a boot. It's a personal boot, and it's just with me 24/7.
The social media following. Are you surprised by that?
Like, we had faith that like it was going to gain some sort of following because it was so unique that what we were doing, like,
just
I think
numbers.
The raid it happened It was like wow.
We gained like 60,000 followers in like 4 days or something.
And what are people like? Are people messaging you guys and saying, like, do they have their own stories? Are you hearing from people with disabilities themselves who are getting in touch? And, you know,
yeah, definitely. This lady messaged us and she's like, oh, my best friend just lost her son to depression and she wakes up every morning, like, looking forward to your videos. And we're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Or like, me and my newborn, like, watch your videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my kid's begging like, every night before bed to show you guys new video. And we're just like, holy shit.
That must feel good.
Yeah. It just reminds me of when we're little, like, you know, with the fam.
Hamish and Andy.
Watching like a show, that's what you watch before you go to bed. And you're like, no, one more ad.
And obviously probably inspiring a lot of people who've thought maybe big trips like that might not be open to them, but seeing you guys are like, actually, maybe I could do that or maybe I could. That
yeah, we've
nice
had a fair
well.
Few people in chairs with other, not even just in chairs, any disabilities who are like, you guys have proved to me that we can travel.
And I think it looks so different for everyone else as well, though. Each disability is so different.
Yeah.
It's a matter of trusting yourself, trusting your friends.
I think that's a big part of trusting yourself. Like,
yeah.
Mm.
And just no matter what happens, like, the people out there, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
There's anywhere in the world you are, we've learned, there'll be someone who will help.
I want to get into some really nice questions now about your friendship and
I'm
stuff.
I'm excited.
How has your friendship grown, do you reckon, in the trip?
Oh, look, come really close. Like, you know, so much love and, like, just around the boys, mateship and everything. But I think we also found little hookups with each other.
that's not what I was going to say.
It's supposed to be a nice question. You're like, oh, there's a few things I'd change.
But that's
about
what brings us way closer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think we're both very good at verbalizing and talking to each other about if something's not working or if something.
We hate confrontation, expressing your feelings. We get really nervous when confrontation comes involved.
Like, yeah, but I think we've both been raised in very open families, where you talk about your feelings. And I feel like that, like, I do that with Lockie more than I do with any of my other mates. He knows everything about me and I feel like I know everything about him.
And Lockie, has Fletcher changed your perspective on anything?
Oh, yeah. It's made me so open-minded. And, like, when I get grumpy about the smallest things, I just bring myself back to, what would Fletch do in that situation? Like, you know, Fletcher's just so, so open-minded and his abilities to just, like, not dwell on the small things. It's changed my way of thinking about things.
What do you want people to take away from the experience? Is there anything in particular that you hope that when they walk away from it, they see or they, you know, look at your content, they're like, oh, nice.
Do anything if you want to do it badly enough. And I think support your mates.
Yeah.
Help out.
Yeah. Yeah, your mates are...
I feel like mateship's the big thing for us.
I reckon life wouldn't be good without mates.
Yeah, obviously it's just us two, but we have so many other mates in our group who just like do just as much for me.
I'm a big person. Anything in the world, no matter what it is, I'll always enjoy it more. If it's a stranger or a mate, like it's so much more fulfilling if you can like share a scream or a laugh or a giggle with someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think what we both learned from the trip is that
just
like,
do it.
If it's something It'll you want to okay. do... Go do it.
And if there's something you want to do but you don't think you can do it, you don't know yet, just go do it and find out if you can do it or not. If you fail, you fail.
You might
it's
come
not
back
that deep.
Broke of spending money trying to do it. You might come back with injuries or whatnot, but just, yeah.
You guys are great on the mic. It should be two guys, one podcast. That's what I'm thinking.
We were actually thinking launching two mates, one chair and a chat.
Mm. I wanted to ask about that. Yeah. What are your goals?
I don't know. I was thinking about becoming a teacher before this trip, but now I think
the original idea we both had, which was like, imagine we could start a company, could take other people.
Yeah, that'd be a
overseas.
Dream. Even if it's not a company, even if it's just one trip with a kid or a youth who's always wanted to go on a trip in a chair.
Our minds are boggling with ideas. We've got sit down, lock in, and that's what's happening.
Have a meeting with the mummages, we call them. Mummages. Our mums are managing us.
Yeah. They've been amazing.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. I mean, it's amazing to have a chat with you guys and to get you in because, like I said, you've made a huge impact on so many people who've just loved to see your content. Thanks for coming in.
We're excited. No,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, follow along the journey. Two Mates, One Chair on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
Fletcher Crowley, Lockie Bennett, really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a pleasure.
And if you do want to listen to the full chat with Fletch, Lockie, it's up on the Hack Podcast right now. Go listen, go follow them as well. Two Mates, One Chair. They're always up to some stuff. We've got people on the text line who are really big fans. Someone's saying, I've really enjoyed watching their journey. So inspirational. Someone else saying, two of my brothers are blind. One is going to do his master's. The other is a lead singer in a metal band. Anything is possible, no matter what that person's saying on the text line now. Another person saying, yeah, legends. They're so inspiring. And someone has to give these guys a break or a TV show or something. This is incredible. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of thinking, I should have asked Fletch and Lockie to come back for the shake-up tomorrow. I mean, they were so good. We could get their thoughts on the AUKUS submarine deal, maybe. And we still have plenty of comments actually coming through on that too. A lot of people have opinions on AUKUS. Someone's saying, Australia doesn't need attack submarines. It needs only defence. Someone else saying, I'm worried these submarines are too big to be used in Australian waters. Another person saying, are we given any guarantee on life left in these secondhand vessels? Yeah, we're going to be diving into a whole bunch of that tomorrow on the shake-up, but that is all we've got time for on Hack for now.